Thank you all for coming.
This is our first
Sannyas Candidate Seminar, and today is the day where we'll have three different seminars. And so it's a little bit more intense than the other days, and not that the other days are, or even today, not that today is very intense. But tomorrow we'll go to the Jagannath Mandir, and in the afternoon we'll have a sannyas and leadership seminar by Bhakti Rasamrita Swami, and then tomorrow, and then on Wednesday there's a seminar by Yadananda Maharaj in the history of sannyas. My seminar is on the service of the sannyasis to the ISKCON mission. And then 11:30, there'll be a seminar by Prandamoli Swami. And then this afternoon at 4 o'clock by Vibhina Narada Prabhu on book distribution, integrated preaching strategy. We can begin by everyone can go around the room and introduce themselves, because I don't think everyone knows each other. And you can say where you come from.
I'm from Mayapur, Nikai Krishna.
I'm Ananda Chaitanya Das from Lithuania, Baltic region.
Lila Sukadas from Belgium.
I'm Lokadas, UK.
Leonardo Das from the Philippines, based in Vrindavan.
Krishna Balaram Das from Chennai.
Vivasvam Das from South Russia.
Vaishnav Das from Moscow.
Hare Krishna Das from Italy.
Ryan Kavacha Das from USA.
Kavacha Das from USA, now stationed in the Caribbean.
Charulesh Das from Ivory Coast.
Anand Das from Malaysia.
Gaur Krishna Das from Vrindavan.
Vaishnav Das from Vrindavan.
Good, thank you all for coming. They were Veda Vyasa, he's supposed to come. Yeah. Who else is missing? So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15.
Five missing.
Okay. Did they know what it was supposed to be?
Yeah. Veda Vyasa.
He's coming today. Okay. And Raghav Pandit's coming today,
yeah.
Too.
And then Banga.
Kadar Priya.
Yeah.
So everyone can turn off the phones. So the idea of the seminar is beginning the training, because it's not that process of assessment is simply to wait a few years or how many years you have to wait, and then after that you become a sannyasi in ISKCON. There should be some understanding of what a sannyasi in ISKCON is, so that one is prepared to become a sannyasi in ISKCON. So training and assessment, they have to go on simultaneously. Although currently in ISKCON it may be a little difficult in terms of organization, because we're all coming from different zones with different management structures, different economic bases in terms of the ability to travel to the different seminars or even travel to different assignments. So this may vary, but ultimately We have to be trained. Before, in other words, Prabhupada said, first deserve and then desire. Before we can become a high court judge, first of all, we should become a lawyer. Of course, when one is being assessed or even trained, sometimes it's not very pleasant because in the material world we all have our false ego and we don't like anyone else touching us. Especially when we have some imagination that we're already qualified. It's just a question of people understanding how qualified we are. And if someone doesn't think we're qualified, then we don't think they're qualified to judge us. Therefore, in the karmic structure, generally they have objective tests, which don't really mean very much, but at least it's a method of objectively, so-called, assessing people. So they can't complain that you were biased towards me, you didn't like the way I chanted Hare Krishna, you didn't like my color of my dhoti or something. That's why you didn't pass me. But that's the way things are. In other words, we should be trained and we should be capable of obtaining, of assimilating the training in such a way that we're able to manifest certain qualities that Krishna himself has explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Who knows what the three qualities of sannyasa are according to the Bhagavad Gita in the 17th chapter? What's that? That's for the householders. Avayam Sattva Sam Shudhir. Fearlessness. 16:1-3. Avayam Sattva Sam Shudhir. Fearlessness, purification of one's existence, and the cultivation of spiritual knowledge.
The class, those 3 days, is until what time?
1:15 in the morning. At noon time. 1:15 it stops.
Yeah,
now in the afternoon we have a session from 4 to 5:30.
4 to 5:30. Yeah. Is finished.
Yeah, the first 2 days.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to the moment.
I will give you a second.
Okay, super. Thank you very much.
Avayam, fearlessness. Prabhupada writes that one should feel that even if one is living in the middle of a forest, that Krishna will protect one. It's the super soul in the heart. And Avayam Sattva Samchudir, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was at different places, especially Jagannath Puri, that he didn't associate intimately with any lady, that the ladies, even if they wanted to offer obeisances to him, they'd have to do it from a distance. And Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, that one should be learned in the philosophy, because especially in ISKCON, sannyas is not given for retirement. There is, as Vyananda Maharaj pointed out in his history of sannyas, I don't know if he will or not, sannyas is not, historically speaking, is not only as it's practiced in ISKCON, it's practiced in different ways in different times. For instance, during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, most of the sannyasis, at least the Vaishnava sannyasis, didn't necessarily travel and preach. Especially after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know that most of them were Babaji's and they led a life of retirement. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he traveled and preached, so did Madhavendra Puri. Lord Nityananda is an avaduta, he traveled and preached, but not everyone traveled and preached. But Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda established our particular kind of sannyasi, which is or sannyas in ISKCON, which is based primarily upon being a part of Dharmacharya, traveling and preaching. So these qualities, in order to travel and preach, we have to have something to preach about. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Dega, Tarikaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amar Agai Guruha, Anatari Desh. Whoever you meet, you try to tell them something about Krishna. And that way you become guru and try and deliver your country. So basically we're trying to preach, and of course in this age, the principal preaching is the Hare Krishna mantra, to take shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra. But in order to take shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra, we have to create an atmosphere which is suitable. Krishna gives the definition of sannyas in the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter of the first verse. He says, Nashikya karakulam karya karma karotiya sa sannyasi jyogicha niranir chakriya. One who is unattached to the results of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life, and he is a true mystic, and he who lights no fire performs no sacrifice or work. So nashikya, no shelter. Often we're unaware of how many shelters we think we have in the material world, or how many things we're taking shelter of, beginning with this body. Prahlad Maharaj uses the word Griha Vrata. Anyone know that verse? What's that? Yeah. The Tirana Krishna Pratatsito Va Vito Vipayeta Griha Vratana. Our first shelter, Prabhupada says, is this body. So we think that if I can make my body strong and healthy, then I'll be protected. Because how long can we make this body strong and healthy? That's questionable. And then if the body's strong and healthy, then have a nice family. They'll protect me. My house will protect me. My neighborhood will protect me. My government will protect me. Mankind will protect me. Brahma will protect me. We're hoping that so many people will protect us. And on the basis of that, Rata and Griha house, different kinds of houses we're taking shelter of, whether it's this body or the bigger house that we're living in or the biggest house in the society, that we're hoping that these things will protect us, they'll save us. Vaishana Pina Pashivya. Of course, we can see that ultimately they can't protect anyone, but we're hoping that they'll protect us. And often we're unaware of it, and therefore often it's difficult to give them up because we're not even aware of how we're taking shelter of different aspects in material nature. But unless we take shelter, or unless we give up these shelters, these false shelters, the Rashaya, then we can't actually take shelter of the holy name. And how do we know that we're attached to so many shelters? What's the symptom, the fact that we're taking shelter of the material nature? What's the first symptom?
Fear.
Yes. Well, that's the last one, actually. That's the culmination. Vayam vidya nivine shikasya ishadavatasya vipariyosmiti. But avidya, that's the first one. We're in ignorance. And what is that ignorance? We don't know who we are. Then, after not knowing who we are, then asmita, we think ourselves to be someone we're really not, namely this body and things in connection with the body. We identify ourselves with all these things. So one can also misidentify oneself as being a sannyasi, grihastha, vanaprastha, brahmachari. One can also have so many different upadis. Pritirna yavan mai vasideva, and not take shelter of the Pritir of affection for Krishna. We can maintain our affection for this body even while we're performing devotional service. And then raga and dvesha. As soon as we have a false ego, then there will be so many things we're attached to, so many things we're averse to. Looks like we have a lot of competition. They're having a drum contest. I think we'll need. Do they have microphones or something?
I can inquire.
What's that?
I can inquire about that.
Can everyone hear me back there? Vaishnav Das, can you hear me? Can you understand me? Can you understand me? No, the curtain won't help us very much. So as soon as we have this false ego, naturally there will be so much attachment and aversion for so many things. And as long as there's attachment and aversion, shoshiti, kangshiti, then we'll see everyone on a different way, according to whether we think they're going to help us or they're going to harm us. And then there's no question of actual devotional service. The idea of sannyas, in any place, in any time, is to help one come to the platform of being able to take shelter of Krishna. To give up false shelters and therefore take the real shelter. Mahasuchaha Krishna says, don't worry. Because we're always worried. As soon as we are in a material conception of life, then there'll be so many things to worry about. What we're going to win, what we're going to lose, what we're going to gain, what we're going to lose. She loves me not. So many things to worry about. But if one has no worries, one is convinced that if I take shelter of Krishna, then there's nothing to worry about. Then one can actually hear and chant and derive the benefit of the holy name. Otherwise, the holy name remains quite a vague. It's simply some words, letters of the alphabet that we chant. And even we can remember we're trying to take shelter of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, but without believing that they're actually a shelter for us, then we won't actually have that mood of taking shelter. Therefore, sannyas is an opportunity, or putting ourselves an opportunity, so that we can take shelter of the holy name. Ultimately, take shelter of the instructions coming down into simple succession, so that by those instructions taking shelter of them, we simultaneously take shelter of the holy name. Now, Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam that in the first canto, second chapter, that many in the past, many stalwart persons, they took shelter of Krishna and performed devotional service, but somehow or another they became deviated by two things. What are those two things? Women and wealth. That even stalwart devotees sometimes become deviated by these two things. And in Kali Yuga, women and wealth are what's prominent. At least the attempt to get women and the attempt to get wealth, that is Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, there's no religiosity. People don't know what religion is. Adharma, dharma, itiya, manyate tamasavritaha, sarvatam viparitamscha, vidisaparta tamasi. People think religion to be irreligion, and irreligion to be religion. And therefore they always strive in the wrong direction. So this is Kali Yuga. No religion, no idea that the purpose of life is liberation. Nityayidu, swarta kateen vi Vishnu. They don't know that actually the aim of life is to obtain Vishnu. Dharashayaye vahir artamanina. They're taking shelter generally of trying to get money. Money, money, sweeter than honey. The professional soldier, the merchant, and the thief, they'll risk their very dear lives to get money. Therefore, the Hare Krishna movement is preaching people to people, or trying to educate people, in the fact that we are spiritual beings. And as a spiritual being, there is no shelter in the material world. That even our most dear and near shelter, namely this body, ultimately is also a Dharashan. Because it's growing older, it's going to become diseased, it's going to die. Don't take my word for it. It's not even just a shastra. We should be perceiving that by now, the fact that my body is changing. And ultimately the final change is called death. And that's for everyone. Everyone becomes a great sannyasi at the time of death. They're forced to give up everything. They renounce everything and they take away nothing. It's 100% renunciation. But what they don't renounce is their material concept of life. And that brings them on to another body. Into another body. Before death, we have to learn the spirit of renunciation. And that apparently means renouncing the idea of gaining wealth for sense gratification. Now in this time, generally speaking, when one becomes a sannyasi, then there is not that much feel for gaining wealth. People don't take sannyas that seriously. I mean, generally they'll give sannyasi some donation, you know, looking in their pockets, see if there's any change. And then they give a little change to the sannyasi. I was just in Hong Kong, and they were telling me about the monks there. They're not very popular. Because in China, or in Hong Kong, which is, I guess, part of China, they feel that it's bad luck to associate with a monk. Because you'll gain a spirit of renunciation, you'll lose your enthusiasm for working hard for sense gratification. So they don't even want to look at a monk. They don't want a monk looking at them. They feel they'll get bad luck. So if a monk captures your eye, and then you give him a donation, get rid of him as soon as possible. So he doesn't contact me with his spirit of renunciation. Spoil your material life. So Kali Yuga's life, even in ISKCON, sannyas is sometimes considered that if you couldn't do anything significant, then they give you sannyas. Just get rid of it. Or at least, let me give them some donation, because I feel guilty unless I give the sannyasi something. So give them a little bit. But generally, sannyasis don't get rich in the ISKCON movement, just by becoming a sannyasi. But if you become a guru, that's different than everything that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked about, namely, no, nadanana janana sundari kavitam vajani shakamaye mama janani janani shari bhavatan bhakya hai kuti twayi. Then if you become a guru, then you get some, you might get women, and they're all surrendered to you, supposedly. And you get wealth more than a sannyasi does in these. You get independence, liberation from being obliged to do so many things, comparative independence, and etc., etc. Everything that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want, that's what you get when you become a guru. Of course, he's told everyone to become a guru, but he's also told everyone to become a guru in the proper way. He's told everyone to become a guru, Amar Agai, by following his instructions. And just telling people about Krishna. But somehow or another, presently in ISKCON, there is some idea of how to Well, I say that sometimes there is a lack of appreciation for how difficult that service is of becoming a guru, and therefore sometimes there's a lack of protection by giving the guru, those who are giving initiation, ISKCON, oversight, or so that they can perform their service without obstacles, namely women and wealth. Because everyone is supposed to be guru. Someone may be initiating guru, someone may be shiksha guru, but everyone's supposed to become guru. And one is taking sannyas and ISKCON specifically to help preaching. It is said that the guru, the sannyasi, is supposed to be the guru of the Vedic ashrams. So everyone is guru, sannyasi is guru, but also Prabhupada wanted everyone to preach. But people have respect for sannyasis, especially if they're displaying some degree of renunciation, detachment, the qualities that Krishna says, fearlessness, purity, and knowledge. Because, in this age, yukta vairagam uchite, Sri Rupa Goswami has said, anasaktasya vishayam itaho yungjitaha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagam uchite. That to renounce things that belong to Krishna is incomplete, we have to utilize things in Krishna's service. And that's actually complete renunciation. One time Prabhupada was walking in Vrindavan, there's this fruit called bear fruit. I think it's pronounced bear. Is that right, Janar? Bear. Bear. It's just the brown fruit, greenish brown. It appears very much. So Prabhupada said that the renunciates in Vrindavan, they used to just only live on this bear fruit. Not a very nice fruit in my opinion, but and the devotees were aghast, thinking that maybe Prabhupada would ask them to just live on that fruit for a while. So instead Prabhupada said, you may not be able to, not that I'm asking you to do that, but you should be able to do that if it was necessary. In the midst of yukta vairagya, utilizing so many things for Krishna service, still that spirit of renunciation should not be lost. One should not forget that everything is actually Krishna's, including my computer. Well, maybe not my computer, your computer. Believe it or not, probably 30 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, not everyone had a computer.
Wow.
Those are prehistoric times. That was when the dinosaurs used to roam. Especially in New York City. But there was a time when, you know, people, I remember when I was writing letters, I wasn't a guru, but I was just like a temple president, heading up a preaching center. And if I got 8 letters a month, it was like a big burden to answer them. Take me a whole month to answer them. And now you get 8 letters a minute. Sometimes. So that time, in one sense, things were simpler. There is less to renounce because there was less. Now we have a much more complicated situation where you meet a computer, even have meetings in the same room, same building. Just like the GBC meetings, you'll find often people are communicating with each other and they're in the same room, but they're doing it by, you know, Skype or something. Or by chatting, whatever it is, sending text messages to each other. They're in the same building. So things have become so much more complicated. And at the same time, the opportunities for preaching have expanded greatly. In 1970, I was having darshan with Srila Prabhupada. I was in Los Angeles. I went there with some of the devotees from the temple where I was the president. together. We were in Dallas. We were, I think, at that, Dallas, Texas. I was the temple president at that time. And we, there was no question of taking an airplane. We traveled by car, 2 day car trip to go to Los Angeles and then up to San Francisco. And Prabhupada happened to be in the Los Angeles temple at that time. And I, as a temple president, I was invited into the garden of Darshan Prabhupada. And there was another devotee named Karunda there at the same time. So Prabhupada was talking about many different subject matters, but one of the subject matters, he said he wanted 50 devotees from America to go to India. So I was thinking, well, India is so far away, how is it possible? Send 50 devotees there. It seemed inconceivable that 50 devotees, 1970. It was, because it wasn't that you just, booked your flight on the internet and, a week later you got on the flight. No, it took a lot more planning. Just a couple of years earlier, or a year earlier, the devotees had gone to the first flight of the devotees to India. Janaki and Mukunda, Shyama Sundar Amalaji, and some other devotees from England. And they got on this plane, I think it only went maybe 200 kilometers before it had to stop. So 200 kilometers, it was like open. There were no seats, and it was like an open plane. Wow. You could see the pilot. And it wasn't a jet plane, it was a propeller plane. So every 200 kilometers, it had to land and refuel. And that way, gradually, they flew to one place or another, and finally they made it in India. And then the company went bankrupt and closed. That was the last flight. So just a couple of years later, to fly over to India was not exactly so simple. And in India at that time, if you wanted to make a telephone call overseas, you booked it. And it took 24 hours before you could make a phone call. You book it, and 24 hours later, then the operator will call you back and say you're connected. And if you booked a super fast call at a much more expensive price, then it would only take 12 hours to book the call. Things have gone progress, but unfortunately most people use the opportunity not for spreading Krishna's glories, but for getting more quickly in contact with their objects of the senses. But we have an opportunity to be able to utilize these things for preaching. But as soon as we forget that it is meant for preaching, then we become entangled. Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyakshakrotiya lipitena sapatena padma patrimivambhasa. That one is unattached to his work. Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyakshakrotiya. Who's able to give up the fruits doesn't become entangled, just like the lotus leaf becomes untouched by water. Therefore, for a sannyasi, it's required that one has a clear vision of what actually sannyasi is for. Previously, they used to call the sannyasis Maharaj, because they were the kings of the Maha. As soon as the Maha came off the altar, the Maharajas would assume control of it. And that was their main service. After eating the Maha, then they went into Maha Samadhi. They only come out of the Samadhi in time for the next offering. So we may become a little bit unaware, or sometimes we're just not aware of actually what is my motivation behind making this particular service. When I first joined, if you were an initiate, it was a big thing. When I first came to the temple, I remember I went in with the temple president. I asked him how long he had been a devotee for. And I think he had been a devotee for almost 2 years. So he was a super senior devotee. He was actually one of the first devotees to join the movement. So I was like amazed. I thought, wow, how elevated he must be after 2 years. And then if you were initiated, it was just like you were in a whole different level of our society. And then Prabhupada in 1969, he started to give second initiation. And then if you became a Brahmin, well, you were like, it was really special. I'm a Brahmin. Speak out your thread and everyone's like, for instances, can I touch the feet? No. I don't want to contaminate. And then after that is when you become a temple president, because Prabhupada was sending different devotees everywhere to open temples. And so therefore, if you were a temple president, it was a very special person. And then if you were a temple president with a maxi van, one of these big vans, then you were you were the top tier of the temple president. And then it went on. I mean, first it was Prabhupada made some devotees, sannyasis. There were four sannyasis or five sannyasis in the movement. They were very special. Then it was at GBC, etc., etc. Now we have our initiating gurus, Prabhupada disciples, whatever. But somehow or another, there's always some platform one can come to where one becomes special. The problem, and that speciality, of course, is to help others, because everyone needs an authority in order to surrender. If everyone's the same, if everyone is guru, then how can you have, if everyone is the same and everyone is guru, then who do you take shelter of? Or if you say no one is guru, there's one philosophy that don't even read books. He wrote in one of his books, don't read books. Or he said that everyone is guru or no one is guru. So if no one is guru, then why should we listen to you? And if everyone's guru, then why should I listen to you also? Listen to whoever I want to, because everyone is guru. So similarly, if everyone is the same, if everyone is, then there's no question of listening to anyone. Therefore, we have a seat for the speaker, so that, and he's generally sitting a little higher, because in that case, then people will show him some respect, or her some respect. Similarly, we have different colored cloths, and different titles, but the whole idea is not that the person should think, now I become a great leader of the society. Now I become a great preacher. Now I become the savior. Now people should listen to me. Because now I'm on the top. Previously, if you're initiated, you are on the top. Or if you became second initiated, then you were on the top of all those who took first initiation until they got second initiation. Then you had to go the next step. You had to become a temple president, keep above them, keep on racing towards the top. And finally, it's initiating guru. And soon it'll be avatar. Are you Shaktivesh? No, I'm such a... I'm such a... I'm Shaktivesh. Glenn. You're just partial expansion. I'm full. But Prabhupada was saying on the Nectar Devotion series that actually the guru never considers himself guru. He considers that whatever knowledge he has, whatever information he has, is actually coming from his guru via media of the super soul. And that when he instructs his followers and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that it's actually not he who's instructing, but it's actually he's simply the instrument for Krishna and his spiritual master. And when he sees his followers executing their service, he sees that actually they're serving his guru, and therefore he learns from them how to become a better servant of his guru by watching them perform devotional service. So this is the actual quality that's necessary to actually become a proper guru. Whatever kind of guru it is. That as soon as one thinks himself guru, then he becomes guru. Guru means cow. So guru, heavy, means that one should understand nimitra mantram bhavasava sajin. Simply we become an instrument of Krishna. But unless we learn how to take shelter of Krishna, then there is no question of becoming his instrument. It is not just by change of dress or change of address we become Krishna's instrument. It's a change of consciousness, actually taking shelter of Krishna through his representative. Now Prabhupada also writes in a letter to Janardhan in 1968 that generally speaking, those who are actually on the level of Srimati Radharani, they're the actual persons who are qualified to become Krishna. Why? Because they're taking shelter of Krishna. They're not absorbed in their false ego. Devotional service is not just a theory to them, it's a reality. Prabhupada said, just like Srimati Radharani, she sometimes thinks that a subordinate of hers is actually teaching her how to become a servant of Krishna. So this is the actual platform by which one can actually become a, Prabhupada's mentioning it, a preacher or initiator in Krishna consciousness. But then he says there are others who are not on that level, but because they become strict followers, strictly followers of the previous acharyas, therefore they're also, can also can initiate sometimes. Strictly follower means to come to the Madhyama platform, nishta, fixed in the service. That means to give up shoshiti and kankshiti. If we take the position of sannyas and we think it's another position of I'm one step ahead of my competitor who's only a Brahmin. When he becomes a sannyasi, I'll have to become an initiating guru, GBC, avatar, forearm, form, whatever. And we look at it like that, it's another step up the corporate ladder in ISKCON. Or if we think, previously I had to do my own laundry, it's too much trouble to get a wife, so why not easier to get disciples? Or at least if I'm a sannyasi, and my laundry will be taken care of, I'll get something to eat, and etc. Life will become easier. So that may not be our primary motive. We may have different mentalities, we may have different ways of looking at it, but we should understand what way we're actually looking at becoming a sannyasi. What we're actually expecting, and what we're actually trying to accomplish. Of course, this Prabhupada is given sannyas primarily for preaching, therefore primarily it's an opportunity to talk about Krishna. If a grihastha talks about Krishna, then sometimes people may not take it so seriously. They may think that, well, he's a grihastha. At least in India. In the Western world, people have no idea what a sannyasi is. They just think he's, you know, another strange Hare Krishna. Walk up from the sleep, didn't know what to wear, so he put on his bed sheets. Some of them put on orange bed sheets, some of them only have white bed sheets. But for them, it's all bed sheets. They're so crazy, their hair fell out. And they all had this weird smile on their face because who knows what's in that food they're eating. So people in the West, generally they have little understanding. Of course, the Indian community in the West, they have some appreciation, and therefore lately, at least within recent times, the devotees have gravitated towards preaching to the Indian community because they have some respect for the colored cloth. But people in general have no idea that one Hare Krishna is the same as the next to them. Hairless Krishnas. But in India, maybe there's still some respect for some saffron cloth. But the idea is not to take shelter of our cloth, our position. The idea is to have an opportunity to tell people about Krishna. And while we're telling people about Krishna, to tell ourselves about Krishna also. Because when we tell people about Krishna, we also get the opportunity to hear what Krishna has to say to others, and maybe he has something to tell us also. So often, if no one else wants to listen, at least we should listen to what we think we're saying, which is actually coming from our disciple succession by immediately the super soul in our heart, who's helping us remember what our previous acharyas have told, so that we can help others remember their relation with Krishna and at the same time revive our own relation with Krishna. So my main point, because although there's a lot of time left, my main point is that we should become clearer what our purpose is. It's very simple, but at the same time very complicated. The process is very simple, how to take shelter of Krishna and how to give up these false shelters. False shelters in the sense, things that will ultimately not really be able to give you shelter. And one does not have to put on saffron cloth to realize that. Anyone can realize what is our real shelter and what is the false shelter. The difference is when in ISKCON, that it's expected that the sannyasis have a certain level of renunciation. And it's not renunciation, a certain level of ability to deal with people. And a certain ability to convey transcendental knowledge to people. Generally, there are different types of sannyasis. Some of them are more interested in their personal relationships with many devotees, and others are interested in conveying the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as they've understood it. And sometimes you have devotees who are more expert at combination of both. They're able to maintain many relationships and at the same time effectively preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually that's shown by how people actually take up, especially the chanting of the holy names, and try to do it in the spirit of renunciation, of utilizing their assets in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. But that has to be the primary idea of sannyas. Hare Krishna. What's that? Have you been outside the whole time? Too embarrassed to come in? Welcome. Swagatam. So what is our shelters? Our shelters can be money. That one gets money when they get some possessions. I mean, in our ISKCON society, sometimes we find sannyasis. They have houses, and the grihastas are homeless. They live sometimes more opulently than the householders, and the householders have to come, as it says in the scriptures, and get loans from the sannyasis. Sometimes the sannyasis are paying for, even when they have disciples especially, they're more or less they are the health care, they are the insurance, they're everything. You're everything for me, Guru Maharaj. You're my health care, my dental coverage, my mortgage, everything. That's more or less, in one sense, it's kind of an anomaly, but that's how things are going on. But these things are, whatever we have, even if it is houses or cars or wealth or this or that, but still, this should not be our shelter. And the only way we can actually tell whether it's our shelter or not is if we're using it for service. It should be assets which are protected by ISKCON, by the society. We should not think it's our assets. They should actually be protected by the society. And at the same time, we should be utilizing those assets to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, and not rely upon them. That if I don't have these assets, then I can't preach. That unless we have a big hall and speakers, and unless the hall is filled up, and everyone has my knows exactly who I am, then I can't say anything about Krishna. No, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was very happy. Even if a brahmachari would go out and just read one book, he'd be very pleased. Not that I only gave up one book, only one person's going back to God, and my life is a failure. No, even if one person goes back to God, then the whole movement, probably say, would be a success. Of course, if a million or a billion people go back to God, that's a billion times more of a success. But not that we judge things only according to how much wealth we get, how many followers we get, how much prestige I get, how much adoration I get. No, we have to be very careful that our center of our attention is living life as Prabhupada would want us to live, and the objective being to please Krishna and Prabhupada and his followers, his sincere followers. Otherwise, we may get so many things, and at the end of life, they may put us into samadhi, and we may hover over there for some hundreds of years, thinking that this has been my best life. I can't leave it yet, even though I don't have it anymore. But the actual spirit of renunciation has to be there, taking shelter of Krishna, by taking shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, and ultimately taking shelter of the Holy Name as our only asset, as our only real asset. And if we do that, then Kataruchi, then the result will be that we'll actually be able to experience Krishna's presence when we're chanting Hare Krishna. We'll be able to feel the ecstasy of associating with Radha and Krishna by the chanting of the Holy Name. Otherwise, we may have all our material conveniences, we may have our prestige, we may have so many different things, and we may not get Radha and Krishna. We may not get Krishna consciousness. So sannyas could be a great asset, and it could be a great obstacle, a great hindrance to progress in Krishna consciousness, depending upon what our actual motivation is and how we go about cultivating Krishna consciousness in that particular service. Any questions so far? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. It was, I think, very important to talk about motivations. I was thinking it would be nice to also hear from candidates about their motivations. Maybe we could learn from each other.
What their motivations are?
Yeah.
Well, what is your motivation?
Well, I was thinking that two primary motivations for myself would be fully engaged, because somehow sannyas prompts devotees to engage.
Yeah, people watch. Sometimes they watch in disbelief. What is going on? But you know, generally speaking, therefore we have to have some criteria. People sometimes even if they watch and they can't believe what they see or they don't like what they see, sometimes it becomes very difficult for them to actually express it in such a way as either not to create a controversy and to effectively be able to help a particular devotee in his circumstances to make some improvement. Sometimes people are very, eccentric. By their very nature, they're eccentric. And somehow or another, they get into some position, and their eccentricity doesn't go away, it multiplies. Before, they were eccentric, everyone thought, well, he's eccentric. Now they're not only eccentric, but they're predominant, they're prominent and eccentric. And so now, some eccentricity has become like there for everyone to see, and they wonder whether this is the standard or not. Whether I should act that way too. Is that the way of getting love of God? But certainly the engagement is there. Generally, if one wants, of course, anyone they want to preach, Krishna will engage them. But there is some people, if there's some class to give, then they give preference to the sannyasis. If there's some engagement, especially in India, they give some preference. So if one is, it's just normal that one will be more fully engaged. So that's an important thing. And sometimes it becomes too much engagement. Could be Atyahara Kriyasi, also. But that's good. And as far as assessment goes, I guess the sannyas ministry, because if you're a assessor, no one loves you. Between the bad cop and the good cop, the good cop is usually liked better than the bad cop. Although they both work together. So assessment is positive and it could be negative. People usually like positive feedback and they dislike the messenger. Often in the ancient cultures, the messenger would come with the news that their army had lost and the king would shoot the messenger. So it wasn't very good to be a messenger. It had a very low life expectancy that had to become a patient. So yes, people are looking at us and we should look back at the people and try to find out what they're thinking. Not that you're looking at me, who do you think you're looking at? So we have to be a little careful like that. But yes, there's a certain amount of social pressure. And as long as one is in a relatively normal position, then one will feel the social pressure and take it into account and therefore improve one's service on that basis. Yes?
Very good point you told, that don't try to take shelter of Krishna. Krishna will give you shelter.
We should take shelter of Krishna. We have to take shelter of Krishna.
We have to take shelter. But Krishna automatically, if we are fully engaged in his service, then he will take shelter. He will give shelter. Can you do it?
No, we have to give up our bad shelters, our material shelters. We have to give up our material shelter. Then we'll be more easily take shelter of Krishna. If we have no other shelter than Krishna, then we'll take shelter of Krishna. Chaitasya sarva karmani, maya sanyasi matparaha, buddhi yogama pashvitya, maschitik sadatam bhava. And all activities just depend upon me, where it goes under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, one has to understand that everything belongs to Krishna, first of all. everyone and everything belongs to Krishna. Then the next question is, Arjuna was on the battle of field of Kurukshetra, and he personally had Krishna's association. Therefore, he was able to ask Krishna directly what Krishna wanted him to do. And Krishna told him to fight. But if Krishna is not personally present, how do we know what to do? So one inquires from Krishna's representative, as well as the guidance of this Bhagavad Gita, then one will be able to understand what Krishna's desires are. So then Prabhupada writes, this word matpaha is very important in this verse. One should have no goal in life save an exact act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while working in such a way, one should think of Krishna only. I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. And that way one will naturally think about Krishna. And that's perfect Krishna consciousness. But after doing something whimsically, one should not offer that to Krishna. That kind of duty, whimsical duty, is not service in Krishna consciousness. That order of Krishna comes down through the super succession from the bona fide spiritual master. And so if one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then his success in life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So we have to find out what is the order of Krishna. Theoretically, taking shelter of Krishna is not possible. We have to practically take shelter of Krishna by practically ascertaining what Krishna's desire for us is. Then, in the consciousness that everything is Krishna's, everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure, then we execute that order of Krishna through his representatives and through the knowledge we know from Bhagavad Gita. When we apply those in our service to please Krishna with the objective of trying to please Krishna, then one will think of Krishna in Krishna consciousness, and that's our perfection. But there are other things who are trying to distract us from executing the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They may be gross in terms of women or wealth. They can be subtle in terms of profit, adoration, and distinction. So we have to be able to recognize these, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called as, I guess, upasatas. The weeds. He says, kuti nati, jiva hinsa, labda, pratishta, puja. So these are weeds. We have to recognize them, otherwise we won't pull them out. Envy, violence against other living entities, profit, adoration, distinction. These things we have to recognize and pull them out, and then we can become absorbed in the shelter of the instructions coming from our disciplic succession, which the essence is chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Be happy means not to have any other shelter, be able to chant Hare Krishna and feel completely sheltered by the holy name. Not to worry about anything else, but just be happy that we're in the association of Krishna when we're chanting Hare Krishna. Be completely satisfied in taking shelter of the holy name. Param vijayate sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtan. To bathe in the holy name, in the ocean of the nectar of the holy name. But if one is full of anxiety, what will be the results of my work? People love me, do they appreciate what I'm saying? Am I going to gain something from this? What am I going to eat later on? Where am I going to sleep? What my position will be? If we're in anxiety about things, then we won't be able to chant Hare Krishna, be happy, and actually absorb ourselves in the nectar of the holy name. Prabhupada does.
Is it okay to ask a question?
Okay, as long as I can answer it.
You answer. It seems like we're sort of surfacing here is a bit of a paradox. Because on the one hand, you mentioned that in ISKCON, sannyas receives certain level of support that one, whether it's in some cases laundry or facility or healthcare. This is that we're going to be buoyed, we're going to be floated to a certain extent by the social structure of ISKCON. Yet on the other hand, as you mentioned, that sannyasis is supposed to be, your whole theme is to take shelter of Krishna, to feel more of a dependence on Krishna rather than on some social situation that will give me my food, clothing, and shelter, etc. So how do we solve this contradiction, this psychological?
Well, one thing is that probably all of us have noted that we have a whole list of anxieties, things to be anxious about. Every day we can write down, if I pass out a piece of paper and pencil and ask everyone what they're anxious about, we can spend the rest of the day just writing down our anxieties. So one of them may be whether my laundry is going to be done today and whether I'm going to get it all back, even if it was done. And if I do get it back, whether it's going to be torn or there'll be extra things added to it or things taken away from it. So that's an anxiety. Or even what we're going to eat, what we're going to eat, when we're going to eat, how much there'll be. So these are just another anxiety. So we're just, says sannyas, we're crossing them off, not for the sake of just crossing them off, so I can, instead of working hard for eating and sleeping, I can sleep. No, it's an opportunity to save that time for maybe hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that when we do, try to explain the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to others, we'll have something to tell people. Because unless we hear and chant about Krishna, what will we tell anyone else about Krishna? We ourselves don't know very much. So it's an opportunity to save time to hearing, chanting, and maybe utilizing that time to tell others about Krishna. We're checking off or eliminating some material concerns so that we can fulfill certain obligations and duties on the spiritual plane. Otherwise, sometimes we may have to do our laundry, sometimes we may have to cook for ourselves, sometimes these things may arise. So there, we can be Krishna conscious doing them or not doing them. But if we have extra time, then we should utilize that time for becoming Krishna conscious and for helping others become Krishna conscious too. That extra time. And if we forget that, we think, well, I'm a sannyasi. People are obligated to do my laundry. They're obligated to give me food. They're obligated to give me a nice place to live. And if they don't do that, I become angry and I curse them. May you remain a sudra forever because you've insulted me. May you sleep on a bed of nails in your next lifetime. No, that's not the point. But it's to help in the mission of to become or be given a better opportunity, more of an opportunity to engage our time in spreading Krishna consciousness. Yes, Nara.
Perhaps we've seen in the past that some sannyasi gurus became overwhelmed with so much service that they're not able to cope up with them, and then they just kind of dwindle or something. So how do we know when they're demanding too much, and how do we know how to say that to a certain degree that I can only do because they're expecting.
Well, if they ask for half your temple, if they ask if you're the temple president, they ask for half the temple, you should only give them a quarter. How do you know? You may not know. But the question is, when do they know?
So how can you tell them? Because you can tell them. I mean, you know that you will be like piling up. So
how do you know how much they? Well, I guess the minimum is we have to be able to hear and chant about Krishna regularly. As soon as we stop hearing and chanting about Krishna, as soon as we lose our desire to associate with devotees and chant the holy name,
then that means that we're in the material conception of life. Whatever we do in the material conception of life is material. Therefore, Prabhupada gave us a sadhana to perform. Of course, for me, during these times, when they have the GBC meetings for 2 weeks or something, it's hard for me to keep my sadhana and keep my health at the same time. So at least 2 weeks during the year, I'm more or less blue. Semi-blue, I guess you could say. Other than that, you know, Mangal Arati is not only meant for the deities. Make sure the deities get up on time, or else they'll be fine. It's also meant for the devotees. I mean, lately I've been in temples around the world, and not just in one place, in many places. You know, it's me and the pujari, and the deities. And so, and then usually, sometimes some other devotee comes. Or else I'm chanting, the pujari is responding, and the deities are listening. So that's not great. Hey, we have to hear and chant for all the devotees. So this idea that now we've expanded the congregational movement, but I don't think that's what Prabhupada wanted or even expected. Somehow or another, we have this idea, whatever our situation, we glorify, which is, I guess, good. And we claim that that's actually what Prabhupada wanted. If our temples were filled with brahmacharis, then we claim that this is what Prabhupada wanted. And it's like we all have congregational, it's only congregational. Then this is what Prabhupada wanted. But I think Prabhupada wanted a combination. People actually, just like Prahlad Maharaj said, Kumara Acharat Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatani Ha. He wanted from the very tender age of childhood that children are brought up in Krishna consciousness. So it wasn't that Prahlad was old fashioned. He's living in some kind of bygone age, and if he wasn't modern. No, he understood that everyone, children from the very beginning of life, should be educated in Krishna consciousness. And although even Prahlad, I mean, there's instances in his particular case, he was abused by his father, but still he is recommended to go to the guru. Therefore, we take it sometimes because there is some problem, therefore we throw out the baby with the bathwater. Similarly, the temples are meant for to educate a class of persons, of devotees, so they get the best opportunity to hear and chant about Krishna. Then all their energy can be focused on hearing and chanting. But in the absence of that, but I don't think it's only because of the natural sequence. We've developed in some parts of the world an expanded congregational development. But it's not only because, well, certainly expanding and stepping into a congregation is useful and helpful, but eliminating the temple is not a very good sign. So the devotees should go to the programs. They should hear and chant. Everyone, especially the sannyasi, should have that opportunity. But sometimes the sannyasis become so overburdened by management and by having too many disciples that they have no time even to hear and chant about Krishna. They're too concerned with solving problems, sometimes problems which are inappropriate, and sometimes problems that will never be solved. There are people who create problems just to get attention. And even amongst the devotee community, that's the way they get attention. It doesn't matter what you tell them. Can't solve their problems because that is their problem. They just want attention. Just like the patients go to doctors and they're always sick because it's the only time they get attention is from the doctor. So the doctor prescribes to them some placebo, some sugar pill, but they keep on coming back because they'd like that attention. Even people get sick just to get attention. So there's a class of devotees, they get attention just by having problems.
And if you answer their email, just as quickly as you answer their email, they send you back another message with another problem. Just keeps you busy. But then you become overwhelmed with them. Everyone, you think the whole world is just mental problems. If you get about hearing Chaitanya about Krishna as a solution to the problem. Because if you write back, you know, chant Hare Krishna, all I ever heard that a million times before, can give you another solution, Guru Maharaj, something more practical. And then you start inventing solutions. But the only real solution, ultimately, is to take shelter of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. And if people don't want to accept that solution, they don't really want to accept the knowledge coming down in succession. Plus, Prabhupada gave a variety of methodologies and different types of advice to help people take shelter of the holy name, take shelter of the process. But ultimately, that is the only shelter. Not only for others, but also for ourselves. And when we forget that, due to different reasons, then we have no shelter in the material energy. And then to purify ourselves, then Maya will make it apparent that we've taken shelter in the wrong way. She'll embarrass us and we'll become more humble. And that way we'll begin to make progress again. Because humility is the basis of spiritual advancement. When we lose that, we lose everything. Anything else? Yes.
Cool.
One more.
Do you have time?
Yeah, one
more. I was wondering, suppose when you decide as a sannyasi and you want to do everything yourself, and then you've got younger devotees who are saying, look, I want to serve you because I'm not going to make some spiritual advancement by serving you. So where do you draw the line between wanting to do something yourself and you want to be a renounced sannyasi, but at the same time facilitating the needs of younger devotees and that?
Well, we're trying to preach Krishna consciousness. I mean, doing laundry or cleaning the dishes or going on book distribution, ultimately it's all the same. In one sense, we do this all for Krishna. Therefore, we should see what our program is, whether we're actually enthusiastic to preach about Krishna consciousness. And doing laundry, sometimes doing our own laundry may be a good way of preaching. And sometimes allowing others to do the laundry may be helping our preaching too. So we have to use our intelligence. So I think we're going to take it, although Chandra Mullinmore is here, and I think what time does everyone have?
Yeah, normally this session should end at 11:15 and the next is 11:15.
Oh, really? Yeah. You have to write that down on
it. Okay, it's on the schedule.
Is it on the schedule? It says 10, oh, it says break at 11:15. Sorry about that. So we had an extra... We had a long introduction. Okay. You can send me a letter. I think we should take at least a 5-minute break, or else just so our next speaker doesn't find a letter. Devotees bowing down before him for the whole class. Bowing their heads. So let's take a break until what time does everybody, what time do we have right now?
11:30.
Everyone had exactly 11:30? Okay, so 10-minute break and then come back at 20 to 12. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.